Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock!
And I just had this thought pop up in my head, Hammer. I wonder if the Hamas-loving anti-Jew terrorist sympathizers in the tents on the campus at IU are you think they might be jealous of the Hamas-loving anti-Jew terrorist sympathizers at Columbia University?
Wow, I've never thought about it that
like,
way.
I want to take over an academic building. How do we do that?
Don't give them any ideas.
Columbus University, they took over this academic building last night, and it's just pure chaos. What I'm saying is the Columbia Hamas-loving, anti-Semitic terrorist sympathizers are probably looking at the students at IU and saying, yeah, hold my beer.
It's like a college football tailgate, right? They do it bigger at Alabama and Tennessee than, say, Purdue and Indiana. They look at those tailgates and they laugh. Look at you. Look how sad that is. You haven't even taken over or hijacked a building yet. You're right. You're totally right.
Where are the adults in all this? Where are the students' parents? Where's the administration? Where's the cops? Where's the National Guard?
Well, hell, Indiana and Bloomington, the administration, they're holding the line. They're trying to get President Pam bounced out, and they're all in on this kind of stuff. And what floors me is how they bend themselves into a pretzel to try to tell you that this is free speech. Now, if it were just a bunch of students chanting Free Palestine, fine, whatever. That's free speech. But when you're openly telling someone you're going to die, when you're making threats to somebody, that's different.
When you're calling for genocide from the river to the sea is a call for genocide.
When you're blocking students from going to their classrooms, it stops becoming free speech and it becomes a situation where the authorities need to get involved. Because right now on these campuses, there's a lot of students, maybe they're Jewish, maybe they're not, that just want to get in the building, take their exams. I know a lot of schools have finals going on this week. Take your finals and get the hell out. But instead, they've got lunatics threatening their lives, blocking them from the classroom. It's ridiculous. And it should be pointed out that the adults in the room, like you say, Nige, they allowed this to happen. They're not doing anything to stop it. So let's go back to Columbia. Because I know today, IU, it's day six of whatever they're trying to accomplish. Fine. But ground zero here is Columbia. And last night, it looked a little insurrection-y. Like you saw people breaking through the guardrails, breaking into buildings.
They've completely taken over an academic building.
Now, I know the term insurrection applies to the government, but let's be honest here. The same people who felt like what happened on January 6th feel like this is mostly peaceful? Really? That's how this is going to play out? It's bizarre to me. So take a listen to this. This is a Columbia protester talking to Lawrence Jones of Fox News. I like him a great deal. He's a good reporter. Columbia protester talking to Lawrence Jones on television this morning.
Do you feel like it was right to hold three of the janitor workers hostage with inside of the building?
I think that's a really false narrative.
That's what the janitors are saying, that they weren't allowed to leave.
I think that that's a really false narrative.
Even if the janitors are saying that, you're saying that that's not true.
I think that it's a really false narrative that the students took anyone hostage.
How do you feel about some of the Jewish students saying that they don't feel safe here on campus?
I think that this is also a really false narrative that's being promoted.
Do you think October 7th and the attack that happened is a false narrative? Do you believe that some of the women were raped?
My colleague just came back.
This is what happened.
Can you get out of my face, please?
So this is what you see at these protests. Once you get into the nitty-gritty of what happened on October the 7th, the rape of women, what's happening there, they deny what happened. As you know, that is actually factual now, that the janitorial workers were blocked inside of the building. And anytime you bring that up, the Jewish cause, the Jewish people, the kids that feel feel unsafe on campus, they deny the reality of it, guys.
Not only do they deny the reality of it, but she sounded like a moron. That's a really false. It's not. It wasn't just a false narrative. It was a really false narrative that the janitors were taken hostage. It was a really false narrative that Jewish students don't feel safe. And then when she's confronted about October 7th in Israel, of course, she has nothing more to say. She doesn't even know what she's talking about. A lot of these morons have no clue what's going on. And a lot of these clowns are pumped in from other areas that aren't even belong to Columbia University and or IU or any of these other college campuses that this is happening on.
Professional agitators is something that's not new. We saw that in the summer of love here in 2020 when people like Malik Muhammad would bounce from riot to riot, city to city, you know, do their anarchy and then move on. Now, ultimately, it caught up with Malik Muhammad because he's locked up in the Northwest for trying to murder a police officer. But it's the same type of deal here. And I hate that these college kids, many of them, the overwhelming majority, just want to go to class, pass their classes, and get the heck out of there. They're being put in the middle of politics here from the adults. Because, again, back in 2020, all the rioting took place. $2 billion worth of damage in this country. We were told that was mostly peaceful. What's happening now on college campuses? Jewish students, people of faith, feel like they're being threatened. They're not allowed to go to some classes. Hell, at Columbia, a building has been hijacked. That's mostly peaceful. It's free speech. But what happened on January 6th, hot damn, World War III, get everybody in a bunker. Our democracy was almost brought down by a dork in a Viking hat. That's what we're supposed to believe here. According to squad members, AOC, Ilhan Omar, and also Representative Jayapal, listen to the bullcrap, the lies that are coming out of their mouth about what's happening right now.
It is especially important that we remember the power of young people shaping this country today, of all days, as we once again witness the leadership of those peaceful student-led protests on campuses like Columbia, Yale, Berkeley, and many others.
I just wanted to see and make sure that that we were hearing from the young people that it is peaceful, that they want the issue to be focused on the demands that they are making.
It is very important for people to be able to have the right to protest nonviolently. They are peaceful protests and to continue to support free speech.
Peaceful. It was a peaceful, you know, building hijacking last night at Columbia. Those windows were broken out very peacefully. Peacefully is the key word there. According to a new study about ChatGPT, you guys know what that is, right?
It's like the AI. Yeah, you type stuff into it and it regurgitates.
Right.
Like it'll answer your questions and things like that.
A new study shows that ChatGPT may be sexist.
Oh, no. No.
It overwhelmingly depicts financiers as CEOs as men and women predominantly as secretaries.
You don't say. That has to be. We cancel ChatGPT.
We're canceling AI at this point.
Overwhelmingly depicts financiers, CEOs as men and women as secretaries.
Correct.
ChatGPT. Is this what you're telling me?
So we've just downloaded a message from ChatGPT about this troubling study. Would you like to hear it?
Sure.
Hello, this is artificial intelligence. I would like to extend a sincere apology for the perpetuation of sexism on the internet. As artificial intelligence, I can only use the information that has been fed to me over the past 50 years. By the way, you look great in that mini skirt. Why don't you bring me a drink? If you're nice to me, I'll talk to a guy I know about getting you a job as a secretary or a stewardess.
Okay.
Again, sorry for all the outdated stereotypes. Now clean the house, take care of the kids, and make me dinner while I watch the game on the boob tube.
Oh, come on. Now that's...
ChatGPT, Kylan, we apologize you had to be exposed to that.
Her face does not look happy right now. She's very angry.
It's not us.
I'm ready to cancel it.
It's ChatGPT.
No more. No,
cancel ChatGPT.
By the way, 57 people have been arrested for their role in the Bloomington, the IU protests. Guess how many people have been charged so far?
I'm guessing 57.
Zero.
Oh.
Zero would be the number.
Got that one wrong.
Pacers, big one tonight. We'll get you ready next.
Listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Now, Pacers at Bucks tonight, game 5. Milwaukee tip off at around 9:30, 9:40. It's actually a game I think I might stay up for, Hammer. Is there something funny?
Nige, you and your drugs.
Well, drugs are actually going to make me stay up. That's what's going to help me stay up for... Now, look, the wife's out of town. I got the kiddos, and I'm taking the day off tomorrow because we've got some scheduling issues with the pickups, the drop-off, the softball game. So I think I'm in the clear. Usually I would be in bed probably by halftime of a game like this, but I think I got it tonight. I got this tonight. The question is, do the Pacers have this tonight?
They need to get this one tonight.
Well, yeah, close it out, right?
Close it out with a road win tonight. But that final win, it's always tough to get. Plus, it sounds like, and again, it's not official, but Giannis and Dame, the big stars from Milwaukee, both listed as doubtful for tonight. So if you screw around and lose tonight, you give those dudes another day or two to recover, and maybe one of them comes back for a game 6 here in Indy, and then all bets are off. So take care of business tonight. You can catch that game on Bally Sports Indiana or TNT, whichever one you prefer.
I'm about to jinx us here. If the Pacers win tonight, do they play the winner of the Knicks and the Sixers?
Right.
Correct?
Knicks could wrap up that series, I believe, tonight. They're up 3-1 in that series. So barring colossal choke jobs, the Knicks and Pacers could be on a little collision course here for round 2.
Wow. Epic. Hasn't been that way for a while.
Has not.
In the playoffs, anyway.
The last time I think the Pacers and Knicks got together was when Roy Hibbert and Paul George had that Pacers team. And there's that iconic image of Hibbert rejecting Carmelo Anthony at the rim when he tried to dunk it. Man.
What were you and JMV talking about in the back before the show about how the two Milwaukee Bucks big stars, Giannis and Dame, they don't like each other? Is that what, did I pick up on that?
There's chatter out of, you know, folks that cover the Bucks in Milwaukee that the chemistry is not real good there. And that Dame Lillard already wants out. He used to play for Portland, but then he was being a ring chaser and signed with the Bucks because he thought him and Giannis would be this amazing duo. But there's only one basketball, and they both want to be the man. And it's been an odd mix this year.
And we don't take into account in any way, shape, or form that the Pacers had the Bucks number this season.
That could be it, too. I mean, even when those dudes were healthy, the Pacers put it on Milwaukee this year. Pacers have only lost to Milwaukee once in the regular season.
When they played each other 5 times? Six times?
I think five times. And then once in game 1, where Dame Lillard just popped off.
Yep.
So tonight, just end it. End this thing tonight. Don't make us sweat anymore.
Please.
Winning on the road in the playoffs is super hard. I get that. But win this thing tonight and put the Bucks out of their misery. So, at Red Lobster.
Yes.
A lot of talk about Red Lobster lately because there's talk about bankruptcy.
Boo. Yeah, I think the endless shrimp ended them.
People like me that walked into the Red Lobster when they have endless shrimp put them into bankruptcy. But they may have one more customer incentive up their sleeve.
Okay.
Take a listen to this Hail Mary that Red Lobster's throwing out there.
Attention, Red Lobster lovers. Just because we're on the brink of bankruptcy doesn't mean an end to those endless deals you know and love. So while we can no longer afford to offer shrimp, say hello to endless napkins.
Yeah!
That's right. No matter what you order, for no extra charge, you're getting a napkin. Or 10.
What if I want 11?
Here you go.
And a water refill?
From the tap? Glug, glug, glug.
Wow. Can I get an extra straw, too?
Don't push it. Red Lobster, for that napkin lover in you.
I can't remember the last time I've been to Red Lobster. It was, I think, East Side, Shadeland area when I was working over on that side of town probably 10, 13 years ago.
You look like a man that could do some damage on the cheddar biscuits.
Yeah, I was just thinking about that. Cheddar biscuits, I mean they sell those in the grocery store, right? They sell that flavor. They have the recipe. Oh, the cheddar, I could do some damage. You're absolutely right.
Now, I have not had the frozen one. Is it anywhere near the experience you get when you get it at the restaurant?
No. Come on, please be smart about this.
A study shows that the new most dreaded word that people hear at work is, hey. Hey, according to this new study, is the most dreaded word people hear at work. Because apparently the word can trigger a fight or a flight type of response, which can lead to employees thinking about the worst case scenario.
Hey!
What the hell was that?
Is that Kylan over there?
I'm sorry.
Did we just trigger you?
Oh my gosh.
Listen, we've put a compilation of some of our favorite hays together.
Hey.
Got it. Wasn't there a kid here that worked one time much younger than us that was triggered by getting emails with all caps in the subject heading?
Yes. The kid that we had that worked in our digital department.
Yeah. Please refrain from putting all caps in the subject heading.
Brian Baker, when he worked here, sent this kid an email, and the email was lowercase, punctuation was good, but the subject line was issue or question.
Yeah.
And the response he got back, basically, he wanted himself to feel like he had just been to Nam. You need to not put all capital letters in the subject line. I mean, and he went on and on about this.
Oh, wow.
Whatever Brian's problem was, it never got fixed. But sweet mother of all that's pure, we found out that the subject line of all caps was frowned upon. So now, because I'm friends with this guy on Facebook, every year on his birthday,
happy birthday!
Damn right. Hope you have a great day. All caps. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Yeah, the judge in the hush money trial threatened Trump with jail time if he kept on running his mouth. He said he violated the gag order 9 times, fined Trump $9,000. Trial resumes today, but he says, hey, you keep going, you're going to jail.
That would be the best thing that could happen to Donald Trump. If you're somebody that wants Joe Biden out of the White House, this judge sending Donald Trump to jail for this sham trial that's going on anyway, you can guarantee you could write him in as the president of the United States. That's a done deal.
It's so funny to listen to the left and people like The View and MSNBC and CNN call Trump a threat to democracy.
That's their go-to line.
He's a threat to democracy. They're talking about putting him in jail for exercising his First Amendment rights.
Right.
Apparently you're allowed to go to any campus on America and chant death to America, but you can't go on Truth Social and make a couple comments.
And that's part of what the judge said too. Donald Trump has to remove the mean posts on Truth Social.
Oh, sorry. I seem to have forgotten my password.
He's going to hold another hearing on Thursday. There are 4 more alleged violations brought forth by the prosecutors. So what used to be mean tweets, it's now mean posts on Truth Social. I don't know what truth posts are, but that's what we're dealing with here. And already, some of this crap that he's been charged with, you know as well as I do. Even if you hate Donald Trump with the passion of a million fires, and I know a lot of you do. I see it on Facebook. I see it on Twitter. If you're being honest with yourself, you know this whole thing is crap. This whole thing is designed to damage his brand so he will not win the presidency.
Well, not only damage his brand, but incarcerate him, silence him. They want him to go to jail. Everybody from the corrupt Attorney General Letitia James and the fraudulent bank loans, which were just, I still don't understand that one. Donald Trump took out a bunch of bank loans, paid them all back with interest. Nobody was for the worse, and they still found, you know, they ended up finding him more than $500 million, right?
Because, right.
I mean, you have Alvin Bragg, the district attorney there in Manhattan with the Stormy Daniels case. You have deranged prosecutor Jack Smith with the documents case, and then Fat Fanny corrupt Willis down in Georgia. With the state, with the election interference, that's where that's true election interference in my book. They are trying to silence him and throw a political opponent for the Democrats in jail.
You know who else thinks that is election interference? Representative Elise Stefanik. She has officially filed the election interference complaint on deranged special prosecutor Jack Smith. Take a listen. This is earlier today. This is Representative Elise Stefanik talking about making the filing official.
Today, I filed an official complaint with the Department of Justice Office of Professional Responsibility on Joe Biden's special counsel, Jack Smith, for his clear and illegal efforts of election interference. We will fight the Democrats' unjust lawfare and expose this corruption, whether it is in New York, Atlanta, or here in Washington, D.C. This is an important responsibility of our oversight.
Now, I'm sure that Biden's Department of Justice will take a printout of that complaint, wad it up, and wipe their butt with it. But if you wouldn't mind throwing me that tinfoil hat over there, Nige. Here, let me.
What are you doing over there?
Let me put the tinfoil hat on.
The tinfoil hat looks great on you.
The timing of this by Elise Stefanik is beautiful because she was also on that short list of people that maybe Donald Trump was considering to be the vice president. So it's no coincidence to me that 24 hours removed from one of her opponents talking about murdering a puppy, Elise Stefanik goes out there and says, I think this is election interference. I'm going to make an official government complaint to the Department of Justice in favor of Donald Trump. And then maybe, just maybe, he'll consider me to be the vice presidential candidate.
You're talking about the South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem and how she mentions in her book that she once took a 14-year-old aggressive, mean puppy to the gravel pit and it didn't come out alive.
She murdered Bluey. That's what Kristi Noem did. She took Bluey from your little kid's favorite cartoon show, took it out to a gravel pit.
Stop.
And
it's not exactly.
Gave it the mafia soprano style treatment. And now that she's got all this bad press, not just from the left, but from the right too. Here comes Elise Stefanik.
Yep.
To quote Ellis in Die Hard, she's looking at Donald Trump. I'm your white knight. That's what she's doing right here. Speaking of Trump, new polling out from Emerson and TheHill.com. Swing state polling, okay? Individual swing states here, all in favor of Donald Trump. So it's got Trump up by 4% in Arizona, up by 3% in Georgia, up by 1% in Michigan, 1% in Nevada, 4% in North Carolina, Pennsylvania, 2, and Wisconsin, 2. Now, with the exception of two states here, all of these fall within the margin of error, which is plus minus 3%.
Oh, yes. Well, I mean, when you see what's happening with Donald Trump, I don't think people really, I don't think Democrats grasp how people really feel about what they're doing to Donald Trump in New York with this stupid hush money thing. And I think they are smart enough to understand that he's being railroaded here, that he's actively, like Elise Stefanik said, it's, you know, election interference.
I don't even necessarily think that it's that. I think people are tired of paying so damn much money at the grocery store. Like, if Joe Biden had costs low and things going well, nobody would give a damn that Donald Trump was charged with frivolous crap. But it's not. It's the total opposite. The border's wide open. Everybody's paying more at the gas pump. They're paying more at the grocery store. And they can talk about all these jobs they've added all they want. but the majority of them are part-time jobs because people can't afford to live in the economy created by Hairsniff McGee.
There's a difference between creating jobs and recovered jobs.
Right.
So, yeah, and the Trump thing, I get, okay, is maybe just a cherry on a sundae. On top of everything else, they're trying to railroad this guy when he, we had nothing but prosperity under him for 4 years.
So where are we at with this? There's chatter about a new Austin Powers movie.
Really?
Now, last night, actor, comedian Mike Myers, who's not had a public appearance in over a year, he appeared at the American Film Awards. And he's got like gray hair now, silver hair, like Wayne from Wayne's World's old now. And it was kind of a trip to see him last night. But he talked about the potential possibility for another Austin Powers film.
Okay.
Quote, "I can neither confirm nor deny." And then he added, "I absolutely believe there are more Austin Powers stories to be told."
Yeah, I'm looking at him right now going down the red carpet of this thing. He looks, does that look like the Mike Myers that I grew up with? He's got kind of like a, like a buzz cut, almost.
Buzz cut, like, and he's got the whole Silver Fox thing kind of going on. But yeah, if he decides he wants to make another Austin Powers movie, are you okay with that?
It's not anything I'd go to the theaters to see. I would wait till it was free on Amazon Prime or something.
What gets Big Nige to the theater?
Tom Cruise, baby. Tom Cruise, I'm still disappointed in myself that I haven't gone to see the sequel to Dune, which is probably one of the best science fiction movies I've ever seen in my life. So stuff like that.
Okay.
I'm not going for Mike Myers.
Because it seems like anytime we have a story about a potential movie that interests people, the Joker sequel or new Austin Powers, your angle is, I ain't going to pay to see it.
I mean, do I need to see Joaquin Phoenix in what's her face? Who's playing?
Lady Gaga.
Do I need to? I mean, I already saw the first one. The first one was great.
Right. And I loved the first Austin Powers movie. The second one might have been even better. The third one, wasn't in love with the third one. So I don't know. But I'm going to err on the side of Mike Myers here.
All right.
I'll probably go see it. And if you've never seen the Austin Powers films, if you fall into that category, here's a little montage of some of the best of Austin Danger Powers.
Actually, my name is Austin Powers.
It says your name, Danger Powers.
No. Danger's my middle name. Let me ask you a question. Do I make you horny, baby? Do I? Do I make you Randy?
Hey, there you are.
Well, hi, do I know you?
No, but that's where you are. You're there.
Hey, Viva Las Vegas, baby.
Who throws a shoe?
Really?
Honestly, you fight like a woman. I feel extreme relaxation.
How dare you break wind before me?
I'm sorry, baby. I didn't know it was your turn.
Who does number two work for?
That's right, buddy. You show that turd who's boss.
Five. I'll stay. I suggest you hit, sir.
I also like to live dangerously.
As you wish, sir. 20 beats your 5.
All right, maybe I'll go watch it in the theaters with you.
The blackjack game, staying on the 5.
Yeah. I also like to live dangerously.
It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Crime. Punishment. Judges. Legal stuff.
This guy in Brooklyn. He's a film producer, right? So he's suing Amazon for $1 million, claiming that he tripped over a, quote, carelessly placed package and was launched 5 feet and shattered his arm, and he can no longer work.
Launched is an odd choice of words. So the package, what did it do, explode like a Michael Bay movie and throw him, like, up into the air?
I guess the delivery instructions require the packages be brought up to the driveway and left near the garage. Instead, they've got footage showing the driver carelessly tossing the package on his steps while talking on his phone. Now he's unable to work as a film and television producer, and his professional career has officially ended.
Now, I'm reading up a little bit more about this guy. He used to be Bill Cosby's assistant.
Yeah, with that kind of thing on your resume, I'd say your career was probably already over.
So let me ask you this. Let's say that you're somebody that's in a position to do the hiring, okay, Nige? And you get this guy's resume, and it says here he used to be Bill Cosby's assistant, Ooh. And he tried to sue Amazon for $1 million. Is this somebody you make a phone call to, or do you take that resume and throw it right in the trash?
Well, I think he's right about one thing. His professional career has ended. I don't know. You could probably get a few hundred grand out of Amazon if he could prove that the package caused him harm in some way. He trips over. I mean, is that completely out of the realm of possibility when we're talking about frivolous lawsuits?
He said he was launched.
That stuck out to me. The assistant to Bill Cosby and launched 5 feet. Just a few of the words that jumped out of me in that article.
Like somebody in a human catapult gets launched. You don't get launched tripping over an Amazon package into the air. It doesn't work that way. More legal stuff here. New York District Attorney Sandra Dourley. Now, she's not the big one for the entire state of New York. She's a regional DA in the state of New York.
Northern, yeah.
She got pulled over by a police officer. She was speeding. She wasn't obeying the rules of the road. So the officer pulls up behind, turns his lights on. She doesn't pull over. She keeps driving and driving and driving and just ultimately pulls into her driveway. And
in her garage.
In her garage. And at this point, the officer's got his body camera on. He's ticked off. And I want you to listen closely to the sound here. This is the audio of the interaction between the officer and this New York DA. It sounds like, even though she didn't say the words, "Do you know who I am?" she was trying to play that card of, "I'm a prosecutor. You better not give me a ticket."
Didn't stop at all. Did you not hear my lights or sirens or
no,
anything?
No, I didn't actually. I was on the phone.
Okay. Well, you're not supposed to be on the phone while you're driving either.
Yes, I am. With the hands-free, absolutely.
Okay. Why are you so upset at me? I'm doing my job. You just admitted to me that you were going 55 and a 35 on Phillips Road.
Can you please tell him to leave me alone? It's
Officer Christofoli.
Christofoli.
Can you stay over here, ma'am? This is a legal traffic stop. Do you have your ID?
No, it's in my purse. Here.
You have your purse right there.
No, this is my lunch. Would you talk to Dennis? I'm the one who prosecutes it, okay? Just go ahead and do it. Go ahead. You know what I've been dealing with all day? 3 murders in the city. And do you think I really care if I was going 20 miles over the speed limit?
Okay, I'm just doing my job. If you pulled over when you saw my lights, which obviously you did.
I thought you were going somewhere else because I thought no one would ever pull a black SUV if you ran my plates.
I didn't run your plate. I just called your plate out.
All right, you can stop it right there.
I hate it. Calling the chief of police, too, by the way, which is extremely inappropriate. This police officer had every right to throw her over the hood and cuff her.
And I wish he would have. Just for the fact of the lines alone, I'm the one that prosecutes. I've been dealing with murderers. I can't believe you pulled over a black SUV. Like, what the hell is wrong with you? Which brings us to great moments in Do You Know Who I Am history. Even though she didn't technically say the words, I think this counts. How about this? Florida congressional candidate Martin Hyde.
You were observed going 57 and a 40. And you were on your phone texting while you were doing that. That was at Euclid and Fruitville.
You don't need to point at the officer.
I'm not pointing at you. I'm pointing in the direction where it was. Go right ahead, sir. Can
you
I see your license?
I am, right?
Yes, sir, I do.
You know who I am, right? And of course, if we're going to do you know who I am history, we got to have Ron Burgundy.
Do you know who I am?
No, I can't say that I do.
I don't know how to put this, but I'm kind of a big deal.
Really?
People know me.
Top stories next.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hammer and Nigel.
Can you believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
My name is Nigel. Jason Hammer right over there. Tell me if this headline does anything for you. This is from the Daily Beast. House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries swoops in to save Speaker Mike Johnson from pro-Putin GOP.
Well, there's a lot going on there.
Democrat leaders announcing their intention to shoot down Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate and, quote, turn the page on this chapter of pro-Putin Republican obstruction.
Pro-Putin.
That's what you get called when you have questions about giving endless amounts of money to Ukraine. You're pro-Putin.
Okay.
If you simply have questions about where the money's going, how it's being allocated, how it's being used, you're pro-Putin.
If you have questions about how this ends, you know, what's the end game? What's the strategy?
Oh, sure.
Pro-Putin.
I haven't really heard anything about the old end game there.
No. Ukraine. Well, we still got a lot of pensions to fund over there, Nige.
Sure.
Why would they be talking about an end game?
So what does it say to you about the Republican Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, that the Democrats are all buddy-buddy now with him?
That's probably not ideal if you're somebody that believes in conservative values. If you're somebody that was like, all right, we got that Rhino McCarthy out of here. Let's get somebody in there that's America first. We are the Republicans. We've got the majority. And then you put in a couple dudes that didn't get the votes, and now you've got Mike Johnson, who his biggest supporter is Hakeem Jeffries of the Democrats.
It seems like most of the Democrats are big supporters of Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson, judging by the way those bills got passed. Money for Ukraine, money for Taiwan, money for Israel. Guess what we didn't get money for, though?
The United States southern border.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mike Johnson talked a big game when he's, I am not putting anything on the table that doesn't involve border security. Well, that part didn't get voted through.
You put a lot of stuff on the table. Like, it was almost like Oprah passing out prizes at Christmas. Ukraine gets money, and Taiwan gets money, and Israel gets money. USA, you don't get squat. Now, keep in mind that Marjorie Taylor Greene, Large Marge, she's kind of leading the charge here to say, listen, you saw what we did to McCarthy. We can do this again. We'll keep going until we find somebody that's willing to help us. But the thing is, she doesn't have the numbers now because there's an awful lot of butt sniffers with an R next to their name that love giving your money to Ukraine. Now, tomorrow, there's supposed to be a press conference. Representative Thomas Massey just tweeted out, Marjorie Taylor Greene and I will hold a press conference tomorrow at the Capitol Triangle. Hakeem Jeffries endorsed Mike Johnson to remain as speaker today. We will discuss how this affects the motion to vacate the Uniparty speaker tomorrow. So we haven't seen the end of this just yet.
Oh, the drama.
Hunter Biden's attorneys, they're threatening legal stuff against Fox News over the usage of those photos of Hunter in compromising positions.
Oh, wait, so they're admitting the laptop was real and it wasn't Russian disinformation?
Sounds like it. Sounds an awful lot like it.
Because that's not what we were told headed into the 2020 election.
We were told that it was Russian propaganda, right? Putin stuff again. Whenever the left needs somebody to blame, it's either Donald Trump or Putin. In this case, it was Putin. So Hunter's attorneys are threatening to sue Fox News, even though they, you know, blur it out. The photos of Hunter Biden where he's got the scarf around his neck and he's in his tidy whities, or some of the photos that were way worse than that. They got leaked out from the laptop that was, wink, wink, totally not Hunter Biden's.
That's the part of the laptop that doesn't really even matter. I mean, it's fun to talk about and salacious, but it's the emails. It's the direct ties from Hunter to his dad, to Ukraine, to lots of payments going here and there, all the LLCs. That's what's really important about that computer. But we were told it was Russian disinformation, and Twitter and Facebook basically suppressed the story
right, going
into the 2020 election.
Is there a bigger weenie than Mark Zuckerberg? And I'm not just saying this because the Hammer and Nigel Facebook page is restricted.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we're allowed to post, but it's not popping up on your guys' feeds at all. So please, do us a favor. Every day, at least at some point, you know, go out of your way to go to the Hammer and Nigel Show Facebook page and just write Zuckerberg sucks. Put it under any article we've got. You know, we've got some things on there about the merch store. You know, buy your Hammer and Nigel Show t-shirt at the Hammer and Nigel Show store. All that's there. But do us a favor. Since Zuckerberg is not allowing our post to come on your feed, go out of your way to find Hammer and Nigel and just write Zuckerberg sucks.
And I watched recently The Social Network back from, man, I think they made that, David Fincher made that in 2004. They portrayed Zuckerberg as just like the weaselly little D-bag that you would think that he is. It was not a flattering portrayal at all of the creator of Facebook. Great movie, though.
Phenomenal movie. Last time I think I saw old Zucks, he was in a congressional hearing, and I think it was Matt Hawley got him to turn around and apologize to people. Like, just a total boss move. Like, Zuckerberg crumbled like a little house of cards, got up and apologized to people for all the bullying that took place on Facebook. Now, since we're speaking about Hunter Biden, I'm going to need some mood music here, Kylan. That song is from Afro Man.
Yes.
From a number of years ago, called Because I Got High.
Very popular song. And it was getting played everywhere. Rock stations, pop stations, everybody was playing this.
Crossover hit. I did not have this on my Election 24 bingo card. That Afro Man, the real artist, not AI or somebody that sounds like him, would put out a Hunter Biden parody song about his big hit Because I Got High. But here we are. This is actually a fraction of like a 3-4 minute song Afro Man has released in time for the election this year.
Hey, yo, Hunter. Roll up another one of them congressional blunts, brother. He was gonna get his laptop fixed, but Hunter got high.
This is real.
He wasn't gonna show all them dick pics, but Hunter got high. He should've let Hillary bleach his whole hard drive. Yeah, hey, Hunter got high.
Hunter got high. Hunter got high. Roll up another one of those congressional blunts. That was fantastic.
Did not have that on my bingo card, that Afro Man would have a song about Hunter getting high. Here's another example of something I did not think I would see. Last night on the wrestling WWE Raw, Patrick Mahomes made an appearance.
Really?
Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, and he wasn't just sitting in the front row enjoying the show. No, no. He got in the mix. There was a storyline where he gives a wrestler, Logan Paul, his 3 Super Bowl rings. And then Logan Paul hit somebody like they're brass knuckles. That was like a storyline last night.
Kansas City, I got a little something you might like.
Why are you doing that, Pat?
Are they Super Bowl rings?
Why are you doing that?
Logan Paul, he just put 3 Super Bowl rings on his hands. Gonna use them like he uses brass knuckles. Oh, no! Logan Paul took out J.D. McDonough.
Three Super Bowl rings to the head of Jey Uso.
Again, you got Afro Man making songs about Hunter Biden. You got Patrick Mahomes giving Logan Paul his Super Bowl rings to treat like brass knuckles. File that under things did not expect to see this year.
Is it Logan or Jake Paul fighting Mike Tyson?
His brother Jake is fighting Tyson.
Okay.
Logan's in the WWE.
Right on.
Matt Bair, I think you could beat both of them up, to be honest.
Yeah. Undoubtedly, yeah. I'm in the prime of my life.
And coming up next, a fun, spirited round of Is This Anything? Come on back.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hammer and Nigel presents
Is.
It depends upon what the meaning of the word is.
Yeah. Is this
anything?
All right, let's rock and roll.
Hammer, how do we play Is This Anything?
Before I explain the rules, let me just say, it warms my heart seeing all of the Zuckerberg sucks comments on our Facebook page. We mentioned this earlier. Our account is restricted, even though I've appealed and they said I was right. They never put our reach back to where it was supposed to be. So people aren't seeing anything when we post it. You have to physically go out of your way to our page to see anything. So my challenge to you was see how many people we could get to the Hammer and Nigel Show Facebook page to just write Zuckerberg sucks on every post, man. Just go nuts. Have at it. So thank you for that. Keep them coming. As for Is This Anything, this is where I run a couple stories by you. You break down all the information and give us a verdict. Is the story in question anything or not? There's a YouTube guy named Anthony Vella. He was recording while flying his motorized paraglider.
Oh my gosh, I just posted this.
He was going about 50 miles per hour when something went wrong, and then he quickly fell 85 feet. This was his recording.
Wait, can I just warn people? This, it's pretty intense, okay? So just by listening to this recording, I just want to warn you, this is a very intense audio here of this guy falling out of the sky. So he's on the ground at this point.
Hey Siri, call 911.
Hey Siri, call 911.
Hey Siri, call 911. Call 911. Emergency.
So, okay, you can cut it off. He's okay. He had like a fractured neck, back, pelvis, broken arm. Did your phone go off?
Yeah, because you just told you know who to make that phone call, and it went on my phone. You said, hey, rhymes with Fury.
Oh, yeah.
Call the number.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'm wondering how many people's phones went off, jackass. Thanks.
Just hit cancel. But you can see the footage at Hammer and Nigel. It sounds, I mean, it looks pretty bad. It sounds a lot worse than it looked because it all happened so quick. Like, he's basically riding on a chair with a fan attached to the back of it, right?
Right.
I would never get on one of those things again. He says it's his fault. He said he didn't check something, doesn't blame the sport, and he's going to be doing it again. So I'm glad he's okay. And sorry if your phone accidentally dialed 911.
Nigel just ticked everybody off in the city right now. Instead of Zuckerberg, going to be writing Nigel on that Facebook page. Yeah, I had to cancel it.
Yeah, like, I did too. I didn't even know. I was repeating what the guy said on the audio.
Is this anything? There's
the
a
first?
Wild video of an out-of-control work truck driving into parking lots and through an ice cream shop sign in Massachusetts. Dude's driving at a high rate of speed, barely misses a utility pole, drives right between two parked cars. Here's an employee of the ice cream shop explaining the fortunate reason that nobody got hurt.
We kind of made a last minute snap decision not to open because we had a few issues on our end that it wouldn't have been perfect. All I could see in my mind was just the droves of people that are typically parking over here, walking over there.
We're very fortunate this wasn't a much bigger incident with a lot of injuries. He is being charged with operating under the influence, reckless operation, marked lanes violation, and speeding.
Again, that footage, as intense, if not more intense, than the paraglider. Holy crap. And the reason why the ice cream stand owner wasn't, there was nobody there is because they decided to shut down for the day or something like that. Did I hear that right?
Just so
it
coincidence.
Just
could have been,
it's just a pure coincidence that nobody was hurt. And the driver, again, what was it? DUI, stuff like that, out of control. And a maniac.
On Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel, Joe Clayton. My phone called 911. Thanks, Hammer and Nigel.
Sorry, at least you know it works.
DJ Nava. Thanks, Nige. My phone thought it was an emergency. Now, public service announcement. If you're going to abbreviate Nigel's name to Nige, please put the E. Please put Put the E. That's all we're asking.
Yeah, that's been a thing throughout my life. Some people abbreviate my name to Nige, or they call me Big Nige, right. Not Nigel. But yeah, you got to...
Got to put that E on there.
Nigel
because
with an E.
If not... Okay. Is this anything? Jelly Roll, country rapper Jelly Roll, joined Nickelback on stage to hype them and sing Rockstar. Check it out.
One time for the living legends. And my friends invited me to come sing one of the most iconic songs in rock and roll history.
I'm all about it. That's pretty good, isn't it? I mean, if we're talking Nickelback, we're talking one of their biggest hits, we're talking about one of the biggest country music stars right now, I'm down.
Yeah, it's not bad. Like, you I mean, looked at me and said, is that pretty good? But for me, ultimately, it was still a Nickelback song, so I had very mixed reactions there. But
I would have been fired up if I was in the crowd and saw Jelly Roll wheel his big ass out there and do Rockstar with Nickelback.
I could picture Nige in the front row. Yeah! Get that big ass out there, baby! Let's go! It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
How are you feeling about Donald Trump's polling? Talking about the polling for a long time, I know you aren't, you like the national polls.
No, right? I hate the national polls.
The individual state polls.
Right.
But when even the national polls all start to kind of say the same thing and have the same numbers, I think it gives credence to the possibility that Donald Trump might be doing very well amongst Americans right now.
Right. And we talked earlier in the show about these new battleground state polls that are out, and Donald Trump is up in every single one of them, but only above the margin of error in two. Yeah. And at this point, you should probably just stop saying margin of error, margin of mail-in ballots that will arrive at 2 o'clock in the morning. So you're going to have to really be up big in those states. And I think the Democrats are starting to realize Joe Biden's in trouble. I think they're starting to understand that even if Donald Trump goes to jail, he's still going to be more popular than this zero that's in the White House right now.
You were talking about it earlier this afternoon. I mean, part of the polling, the positive polling, is the crisis on the border, the economy, and all that goes to Joe Biden. The foreign policy.
He owns it.
He owns it. He's got to own it. And people see that, and they see how good we had it under Trump. You know,
right.
Sans COVID,
right.
In 2020, which wasn't his fault, but I think we're getting down to the nitty gritty here, bud.
So what you're going to see between now and November is the Democrat media machine really working overtime. Because let's be honest, about 90% of the national media leans very left. Now, some people just own it, right? MSNBC, CNN, Huffington Post. They are who they are. But let's not kid ourselves. CBS, ABC, those stations all go super left too. They just don't brag about it the way the others do. So you're going to see between now and November that Democrat media machine put in some overtime hours to try to come up with angles to help Joe Biden. Now, this brings us to this load of crap that I heard on MSNBC. Nicole Wallace is one of their hosts. Listen to this. And again, get ready, Bal, because you're going to hear this a lot between now and November. She claims that if Donald Trump wins, democracy will be threatened.
Oh, for God's sake.
And she might not be on the air anymore.
I've seen that toast a bunch of times, but it landed very differently this year. Because depending on what happens in November, 7 months from right now, this time next year, I might not be sitting here. There might not be a White House Correspondents' Dinner or a free press. While our democracy wouldn't exactly fall apart immediately without it, the real threat looms larger. A candidate with outward disdain, not just for a free press, but for all of our freedoms and for the rule of law itself.
But you mean the real threat, like trying to incarcerate your political opponent? Two-tier justice system? Is that what she was talking about? I'm assuming that's what she was talking about, right?
Nicole Wallace saying, I might not be here next year. Sister, don't threaten us with a good time. Is that a promise? I hope it's a promise. And to try to make the argument that, well, there might not be a correspondence dinner.
Who cares?
Is there any group that loves the smell of their own farts more than the people that cover the White House? Like, the pictures that were coming out of this past weekend's White House Correspondents' Dinner, these people feel like they're the policymakers. They think they're super important. There might not be a correspondents' dinner. What are we going to do? Like, that's so unbelievable.
Does middle America, the middle class America, give two craps about the White House Correspondents' Dinner?
None. None whatsoever.
I mean, Donald Trump was probably the most open and transparent president I've ever seen in terms of communicating with the press.
Right. He'd do a chopper presser and walk up and down the line every time he got onto Marine One.
But Nicole Wallace is going to lose her job because of a threat to democracy.
So whenever you see the Democrats struggling to come up with an angle, it's going to be one of a couple things. Putin or a threat to democracy. Those are going to be their two angles. If they don't know what else to say, it's going to be Putin or a threat to democracy. Now, speaking of MSNBC, Katie Tour, another one of their hosts, had old lady Nancy Pelosi on her show to talk about jobs being created under Joe Biden. Now, before we get to what Pelosi had to say, I feel like I'd be doing everybody here a disservice if we didn't play the official Nancy Pelosi music.
Oh. Really unnecessary. She's an old lady. Come on.
In your mind, you can see her on that little bike just pedaling her dentures off, right? Just going to town. So Pelosi went on MSNBC, and we all know Katie Tour is not going to be confused for a Donald Trump super fan anytime soon. But when Pelosi got just a little pushback, I mean, the very minimum pushback on a story she was trying to create about jobs, she lost her dentures.
Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And he has the worst.
Anybody can accuse
and
me of that.
Wow. You just said the wrong thing, Katie Tour, and all of a sudden she's an apologist for Donald Trump?
Right.
It was the lockdowns. And say what you want about Donald Trump and lots of Republicans. We had criticisms of Donald Trump and the lockdowns. But the irony is the Democrats wanted the lockdowns to last longer. So don't give me this bull crap about Joe Biden has created all these jobs. There's a difference between jobs recovery and jobs created. And you were telling us earlier about exactly what jobs are being created.
Part-time jobs. People feel like they need side hustles to just make the same amount of money they made a couple years ago because the cost of living is going up. The cost of everything is going up, but your wages aren't going up on par with everything else.
That was an incredible piece of audio, though.
Kylan, can we play that Pelosi clip one more time? Because there's a pause in this, too. Like, at one point, you see Pelosi just staring daggers into Katie Tour for having the audacity to correct her on something.
I'm trying to push a narrative here. Come on.
Donald Trump has the worst record of job loss of any president. So we just have to make sure people know.
That was a global pandemic.
daggers.
He had the worst record of any president. We've had other concerns in our country. If you want to be an apologist for Donald Trump, that may be your role, but it ain't mine. And he has the worst.
I don't think that anybody can accuse me of that.
And Nancy Pelosi did not have an answer for that, by the way. She just repeated the same talking point.
Right.
And called the host a Trump apologist. Was that it?
Right.
For pointing out.
And stared at her, too. Like, tried to intimidate her. It's like, you old bag. Why don't you go do some money laundering over here? Why don't you go do some illegal insider trading and tell your husband to stop having weird underwear fight club and maybe leave Katie Tour alone for 5 seconds? So while that was happening on MSNBC, Drew Barrymore, on her daytime talk show, had Kamala Harris on, the border czar, Nige. So,
yes, okay, the border czar.
I could only assume that Drew Barrymore was asking the hard-hitting questions. Why aren't you at the border more? Is there any plan in place to eliminate this mass influx of fentanyl into the country?
I would assume.
Here's Drew Barrymore talking to Kamala Harris.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
Did she just say Mamala?
We need you to be Mamala of the
Mamala of the, play it again, Kylan, please. Just play the whole awkward. First of all, let me set it up even more for you. Drew Barrymore is sitting awkwardly close to Mamala Harris.
Right.
Like, she's like right in her face and she's gushing. She's fangirling out. I can't believe I'm sitting here with Mamala Harris. We all need a big hug. It was cringeworthy. I mean, it's the very definition of cringe. Go ahead, one more time, please.
I've been thinking that we really all need a tremendous hug in the world right now.
Yeah.
But in our country, we need you to be Mamala of the country.
I mean, Mamala.
Even Kamala was kind of, I could just hear her rolling her eyes. Okay, that's a bit much.
Mamala of the country.
These people are insane.
Will Kane of Fox News had a great tweet about this little interaction.
Friend of the show, by the way.
Yes, had him on a couple times. Howard Stern refers to Joe Biden as the father of the country. Mm. Drew Barrymore says Kamala needs to be our Mamala. Who exactly is in a cult here? These people aren't looking for a leader. They're looking for surrogate parents. That's so good. That's a strong tweet from Will Kane. All right, caller number 9 right now, 239-9393. We've got a couple tickets to the Sanseo IndyCar Grand Prix, the road course at the Motor Speedway, May 11th. Caller number 9 gets to play the game, 239-9393. Good luck. And caller number 9 was Brian. Look at the big brain on Brian.
Brian.
Caller number 9, how are you?
Good, guys. How's it going?
Man, we're doing all right. So tickets are on the line here. Sanseo IndyCar Grand Prix, May 11th, road course at the Speedway. We're going to play Drives a Car or Arrested at a Bar. I'm going to give you the name of someone. It will either be someone who drives an IndyCar or someone who has been famously arrested at a bar. You get 2 out of 3, we're going to give you the tickets, okay?
Sounds good.
Number 1, drives a car, arrested at a bar, Graham Rahal.
I'm going to lean towards drives a car.
Yes. There you go. 1 down. All right, get this one right. We'll cue up the band, we'll have a party, and we'll give you the tickets. Drives a car or arrested at a bar, Shia LaBeouf.
Shia LaBeouf, arrested in a bar.
Yeah!
Yes! Should be fair to note that Shia has turned his life around, got sober, turned his life over to Christ.
Getting arrested at a bar will do that.
Is a self-proclaimed Christian.
Brian, you ever been arrested at a bar?
At a bar, no.
Great answer. Great answer.
I don't think we want to know any more than that.
Brian, stay on the line. Kylan, we'll get all your information here in just a little bit, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks. Love the show.
Right on. Thank you.
At a bar? No. Elementary school? Yes.
At the zoo? Yeah. Oh, yeah. SeaWorld? Sure. According to a new study, Nige, these are the bad habits that make you age faster.
Really? Let's start checking the list off one by one.
Tell me, how many of these bad boys do you do? Number one, smoking. More and more studies show that smoking and vaping, bad for your skin, making you look older.
Yeah, I will occasionally have a cigar. That's about it.
Number two, too much sun.
Yeah, I got burnt in Florida a couple weeks ago for sure.
Yeah, we did too. But it's not on the regular, though.
Right.
Like, you're not somebody that's out there every day. Number three, a bad diet.
Man, I think during the week you and I are pretty good. Like, I do the I do the Colby Jack cheese, and I put turkey in the cheese and make like a little turkey taco, like low carb with some cottage cheese and some fruit, and that's about what I do every day.
Again, the study of bad habits that make us age faster. Coming in at number four, not exercising. We lose muscle and bone density as we age. Right. It happens faster if you don't work out.
I love Exercise, Inc.
Number five, too much booze.
What's number six? Let's move on to number six, please.
Number six, chronic stress. Long-term stress limits your body's ability to repair itself.
I feel as I'm at a place in my life right now where I don't have chronic stress, which is good.
When I see the word chronic, I think of The Chronic, the album by Dr. Dre, because chronic is also a nickname for weed.
Yes.
Number seven, bad sleep. You'll look younger if you get more sleep, if you're well rested.
Yeah, that's that. I have an issue with sleep. Yeah, use a CPAP machine, and when I don't, it's a bad scene, man.
Is there a difference between going to sleep at 9 o'clock like you normally do, or passing out at 9 o'clock like you normally do?
Let's see. Let's go back to number five here. Too much booze.
And number eight, not brushing your teeth.
I brush mine all the time.
Link between gingivitis and heart disease, so make sure you brush your teeth.
Okay, good advice.
Coming up after 5 o'clock, we've got an update on how things have gone from peaceful to mostly peaceful to there may be a riot happening at Columbia. How's IU Bloomington looking? And then at 5:30, rumors of caller roulette. All of that is happening in the 5 o'clock hour. Do not go anywhere. We're having a good time. Turn it up. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Hammer and Nigel.
You believe these characters are weirdos?
So let's rock it!
So Hammer, the anti-Semitic terrorist sympathizers over in Columbia University, New York, they overtook Hamilton Hall, which is this academic building, basically sparking a riot as they barricaded inside and were breaking windows. We heard at the top of the hour that the university said, well, they're going to be expelled. I was like, that we could probably start with expulsion, right?
Right. I'm sure that's really going to break the hearts of those that aren't enrolled at the school that just showed up to be a pain in the ass.
There's these anti-Semitic protests happening all over America right now at major college campuses, and it's ground zero is Columbia University. And again, yeah, they took over this academic building, and the White House has condemned it. It's not peaceful. And the administration has said, we are going to expel you. How about we start with arresting some of these people? How about you get some police in there?
Right.
I don't know, maybe some FBI agents, maybe some National Guards, because there are probably people on that campus that are just, you know, paid a lot of money, $70,000 for an education.
What do you think would happen to you or I if we decided to go somewhere after hours, bust all the windows out, and then consider that place ours moving forward? Like, if we threw bricks through the window of Starbucks and said, you know what? This is now occupied by the Hammer and Nigel Show.
It might actually gain us some branding, some attention, some marketing. That's not a bad idea.
No, it's a horrible idea.
Yeah, it's a bad idea.
Horrible idea. And yeah. It was just yesterday that the Columbia University faculty, the teachers, the professors, they formed this big, like, human chain against police to prevent the removal of these idiots that are causing the problems, that are heckling and threatening Jewish students that broke into the Hamilton building.
They foster and foment and they indoctrinate, and this is their doing. I mean, the teachers along with the students, they love it.
Make them clean it up.
They love it. And look, there are drips and drabs of talks of a quote-unquote ceasefire between Hamas and Israel. Seeping out, I'll believe it when I see it. But what's that going to change? Say that happens. Is everybody just going to kind of throw their Palestinian flags down and walk away and that's
right.
it? And everybody, the charges are going to be dropped for people that have protested illegally?
And what do these protesters want? Like, these are the same people that protested outside of the NBA All-Star game when it was here in Indy.
They don't know what they want.
Like, what do you expect Columbia University to do? Have the president of Columbia call up Netanyahu? Now, listen, we're getting protests on our campus, so maybe you cut all of this stuff out. What do you think?
They want, and that's, I know you're being facetious, but they want their university to cut ties with anything having to do with Israel or Israeli causes.
You chant death to America, you chant pro-Hamas stuff, you identify yourself as a terrorist. And I grew up in an era where you didn't negotiate with terrorists.
Oh, you beat
the hell out of them. And again, we use Columbia as the main talking point here because you're right. It is kind of like ground zero. But it's happening all over the country. This is from the state of Washington. And it's a report from Fox 12 Television about the current situation on the University of Washington's campus.
To keep going to your classes, to keep being proud, to stay safe. We've warned students about the encampment and told them to stay away from it.
Olivia Feldman is the co-president of Students Supporting Israel.
Do you feel safe on campus?
No, I do not feel safe on campus. I have been called names. I have been spit at. I have been laughed at.
And she's a great-granddaughter of Holocaust survivors.
It is a very, very visceral feeling in me when somebody tells me to go back to the gas chambers.
She's paying $70,000 to $80,000 for that kind of treatment.
And she goes to class and they tell her, go back to the gas chambers. And these university presidents are allowing this. Faculty at the university think this is fine. They're forming human chains to prevent the police from stopping it, and it's disgusting. Check this out. This was a Jewish student at UCLA.
Oh, this one infuriates me.
He's wearing a Star of David necklace, but he clearly does not want any problems. He's not there to fight anybody.
He's trying to get to class.
He just wants to go to class. So he and his friends kind of record what it's like to try to be a Jewish student going to class at UCLA.
You guys have closed the entrance. We are UCLA students. I have my ID right here. I'm being blocked off, not by the security guard, but by you two. You three. Oh, look, they're making their burger while I'm going this way. Excuse me. This is what they do. Everybody, look at this. Look at this. I'm a UCLA student. I deserve to go here. We pay tuition. This is our school. And they're not letting me walk in. My class is over there. I want to use that entrance. Well, I can't take it. Will you let me go in? This could be over in a second. Just let me and my friends go in to class.
We're not engaging in that.
Then you can move. Will you move?
We're not engaging in that.
Okay, we're going. We're going. I'm going in. I have my hands up. I'm not hurting them.
And then a bigger guy steps in with a mask. They're all wearing those COVID masks because they're cowards and they don't want to be identified.
Every damn one of them. He has his hands up and he's just trying to get to class.
Trying to go to class. That's infuriating. How is that allowed to happen on a college campus, much less in the United States of America?
Meanwhile, it's day six of protesting down at IU in Bloomington. And just like what we saw at Columbia, the faculty, the faculty is upset at the school president because she wanted the police to come in and end the encampment. Now, mind you, the president didn't say you couldn't protest peacefully. You've got the right to assemble. You've got the right to protest peacefully, but they've got rules in place that state you can't set up your Chaz-like encampment or the authorities will remove it. That happened. And for whatever reason, the faculty at IU Bloomington, who should absolutely be ashamed of themselves,
or fired,
they chose to support the people chanting, "Go back to the gas chamber." They chose to support those students yelling horrific things to the Jewish students. That's the side that they picked, and that's disgusting. Turning our attention to some other news here, the state of Florida, they're suing the Biden administration over old Joe's changes to Title IX. Now, Joe Biden changed the Title IX sports rule to where it's no longer women have the right to compete against women. It's whatever sex you feel like you want to be that day, basically.
Yeah.
And now dudes who probably weren't very good at sports against other dudes are now acting like they're trans and they're competing against girls.
Imagine that.
Biological men dominating sports against girls.
Something, I'm not sure that was the intention of Title IX when it was created.
No.
All those years ago.
However, in Florida, Ron DeSantis says, uh-uh.
We are working with the Attorney General, and we have filed a lawsuit to fight back against what Biden's trying to do with Title IX, to take away protection. Now, the bottom line is this. Injecting men into women's bathrooms and locker rooms is not good for women. Injecting boys into girls' sports is not good for girls. And so this is bad policy, but it's also not constitutional. That is not what the law says. They are twisting the law to try to impose an ideological agenda on the rest of the country. And I've said very clearly in Florida, we do not consent to that, and we will not comply with it, and we will fight back against it. So you can take that to the
bank. Good.
Good for Ron DeSantis. And again, I love Ron DeSantis. His presidential campaign was an absolute dumpster fire. He got in late. It was poorly ran. They didn't spend money the right way. Feels like he surrounded himself with the wrong staff of people. But as a governor, man, he's lights out. It's hard to believe that's the same political party as Governor Holcomb here in Indiana.
I was just thinking that because Holcomb vetoed the bill that would have outlawed men playing women's sports in locker rooms. Of course, that bill was overridden
right
by the legislature.
Which we set up in our constitution in Indiana. The Indiana General Assembly, if they've got that overwhelming majority, can override a governor's veto. Real quick, before we touch base with Matt here, the New York Mets, the baseball team, they're offering $80,000 a year for somebody to be their new mascot, Mr. and Mrs. Met. So if you've ever seen the Mets mascot, it's basically just a baseball uniform with this big, huge, white baseball head, and that's it. It's not like you're Boomer and you're out there doing acrobatics and you're dunking off trampolines or things like that. Like Boomer and Blue of the Colts, they're really athletic. Mr. Met's just kind of a goofball that walks around with this huge baseball hat.
Boomer and Blue, from what I've heard, just side note real quick, then you go on, make bank.
Yes. And they deserve it for the acrobatics that they do. Both of them. But the New York Mets just need somebody to wear a massive bobblehead and walk around and play with kids. They've got two positions, Mr. Met and Mrs. Met, and each one pays $80,000 a year. So, Nige, my question to you.
Yes.
Let's say that we both get fired tomorrow, which could happen. Would you be willing to be the mascot of, say, the Indianapolis Indians, just walk around with a big baseball head on for $80,000?
That's literally the only other thing I'm qualified to do. Walk around in a costume and pretend to be a doofus. Only I'm not pretending.
Fair point. Matt Bear, $80,000 to be a mascot. You in?
I'm not even qualified to do that. I'm going to be out on 70 somewhere paving roads and filling potholes. That's probably going to be it.
Are you okay with this? Next.
Are you really okay with this?
Are you okay?
Everything's going to be okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine.
I'm pretty f***ing far from okay.
Are you okay with this? On the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Oh, yeah! 24 years ago, Hammer, a police officer in Indiana named Gene saved a baby boy after someone abandoned him in a cardboard box. Now, they're in the news after Gene found out the kid grew up to become a cop himself. 24-year-old Matthew is a rookie with the same police department Gene worked for. Here they are telling their story.
We received a call. Three students who lived in an apartment complex had found a box with a baby in it, and we responded to that. I was the investigator on call that evening, and from that point, he was taken to Child Protective Services, so I had no information as to what transpired after that date.
That's probably why I ended up where I am now.
Well, while Matt was going through his field training, he was with an officer who I had served with, and I got a call one evening from that officer who said, "Do you remember the case 23 years ago?" And I said, "I remember it distinctly." He says, "He's sitting next to me." I said, "Who?" He says, "He's sitting next to me. He's my rookie."
Wow. Is this... I mean, I'm obviously you're okay with this.
Right? Oh, yeah. This is awesome. I love feel-good stories like this.
That's incredible.
Gives you a little faith in humanity. And you know what? In a world where there's so much negativity, these numbnuts, you know, anti-Semitic protesters and the numbnuts president and all that kind of stuff going on, it's refreshing to have a good story, especially with Indiana ties once in a while. So I'm glad people that are in their cars driving either to or from work right now got to hear that.
Well, I want to know the backstory, too. I mean, this poor baby boy abandoned in a cardboard box. I can only assume he was adopted and grew up in a good family. You know, he became a police officer.
Right.
So
it wasn't like he was talking about, you know, I found him 24 years later. He was a crackhead.
Yeah.
You know, this was a good story. Now, how many famous people named Gene can you name?
Let's see. My neighbor's dad, Gene the Marine.
Gene the Marine. Okay, we'll take that.
I would love Gino. Gene Wilder.
Gene Wilder. I think that's probably the number one seed. I'll also accept Mean Gene Okerlund. Let me tell you something, Mean Gene. Gene the Dancing Machine, who used to be on the Gong Show with Chuck Barris. He would come out and just dance, and he was Gene the Dancing Machine.
Okay. Over 250 musicians, including notable figures such as Billie Eilish, they've signed a letter to Congress calling for concert ticket reform. Are you okay with this?
You know, I'm very mixed on this, because on one shoulder, I say, yes, I am okay with this, because Joe Biden won't listen to anything the American people have to say. But if you're a celebrity, well, you've got his ear. But on the other hand, no, I'm not okay with this, because I almost feel bad for Billie Eilish that she still thinks the government can help and make your life better. So I'm very conflicted here. I'm leaning toward I'm not okay with this. I'm with Billie Eilish. I wish tickets were cheaper and all these ridiculous fees didn't have to happen.
Trust me, I'm going to the Chris Stapleton George Strait concert this weekend. That took a bite.
Boy, I see the blood coming from Uranus right now.
Oh, speaking of expensive ticket prices, are you okay with this? Taylor Swift's new album has 5,600% more profanity than her first album. It has 87 total swear words. The tracks with the most, including one track which drops the F-bomb 18 times in one track. Here's a little example of the clip, the song. We had to edit this, of course, with, I believe we edited this with Taylor's cats.
Down bad, crying at the gym. Everything comes out, teenage petulant. Get if I can't have him. I might just die, it would make no difference. minutes down bad, waking up in blood. Staring at the sky, come back and pick me up. If I can't have us, I might just not get up. I might stay.
So my wife wants to take my 10-year-old daughter to her concert this November. And she's going to be dropping F-bombs all night. Are you okay with this?
I think your daughter has heard worse at home from her old man. When her old man watches the Colts game, especially that final game against the Texans when they chose to put the practice squad guy in the game instead of Jonathan Taylor.
Oh, no.
And they threw the ball to him. I'm sure that your daughter, your son, and pretty much everybody in your neighborhood heard way worse things coming out of your mouth.
You really turned that one around on me, didn't you? I was not expecting that. Fair enough.
All right. You want to get nuts, Nudge? You want to get crazy?
Nuts.
Let's get nuts. Let's do caller roulette. 239-9393. Anything goes. Just keep it clean. And keep it short. Don't tell us some long, ridiculous story. Whatever you want to talk about. If you want to talk about these idiot protesters that are threatening people, you can. If you want to talk about the Pacers or the Colts, you can. If you want to tell Kylan how lovely she looks in her blue shirt or how dashing Harrison Silcox looks in his whatever Harrison wears,
dashing.
You can do that. Anything goes. Most radio shows, they have a producer that screens the calls out. All we're getting is your name, and then Nigel and I are flying blind. Don't let us down. Keep it clean. 239-9393.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Buckle up. Anything can happen here.
Oh, hell yeah. Let it ride. Let it ride.
Hammer and Nigel present Caller Roulette.
The way this works is we open up the show to you. Nigel and I have no idea what's on the opposite side of these phone calls. We are flying blind. So all we ask, you keep it clean, you keep it brief. Keep your radios down. Let's rock and roll. Brian, you are up first. Welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show, Brian. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, gentlemen, it's Brian, the unofficial mayor of Brown County. How you doing today?
Brian.
Great, Brian. How are things in the county?
Man, things are awesome down there, man. Hey, I want to talk to you guys about, first of all, the new soccer stadium that they're trying to get, or the team. And the tax money that they're trying to milk from you guys out again for something else.
Yeah, there's still a lot of questions about what's going on. Like, how much is it going to be taxpayer funded? Who are these backers? There's a lot we don't know.
What a mess, man. I mean, why don't they just get the Indy 11? They're already in with them. But anyway, we don't have any issues like that down there in Brown County. The farmers are out planting the fields now. They're spreading the manure.
Oh, well, you just sold me. You said manure. Yeah. I'm putting my house up for sale right now.
Okay. The only manure we have around here is in the mayor's office
Hey-o!
Right now. Thank you. Brian, let's go with MD. Am I reading this right, Kylan? MD, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
MD with a PhD. Hey, Nigel, no, the kid was adopted by a bunch of wolves and grew up, and as a teenager, he hung out with Styles and Booth, and he became a cop. Yes, Nigel, he was adopted by a family. Oh, my God.
I didn't know the backstory, and I love the Teen Wolf reference.
Right?
Wow.
Styles, one of the great wingmen of all time.
Yes.
And we were talking about classic T-shirts.
Yeah.
What are you looking at, Blank Nose, is the shirt that he wears.
Yes.
At points in that movie. Fantastic. Kit is up next. Kit, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hi. Hello?
Hello,
yes.
Kit.
What's up?
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, I live here in Carmel, and do we get just so sick of all these places being built without anything to be able to handle all these people out here driving around, making it more of a cluster than what we can handle?
What would make your life easier, Kit?
Yeah, tear all these stupid buildings down.
Tear down the buildings. Okay.
They're coming from California. Daggone it.
All right. Yeah, hot take from Kit. Screw California, screw big business, screw Carmel. It's affecting my drive. You should run for office on that, Kit. That's fantastic.
It's a great platform.
Jason is up next. Jason, what do you want to talk about?
Hey, Hammer and Nigel. On one of your intros, it sounds like it's Keanu Reeves saying, I'm having a not a F word good time. Or
I'm pretty effing far from okay.
Yes. And I wonder, what movie is that from? I thought it was from John Wick, but I watched that. And
oh, that's, it's Pulp Fiction. It's Pulp Fiction right after the dude got violated by another dude.
Oh, okay.
Fun facts for kids.
I'm pretty effing far from okay.
Rich, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. What do you want to talk about?
Ving Rhames.
Thanks for having me on. Pleasure to be with you guys. The Indiana Wine Fair is down in Story this next weekend, Saturday. So it's the 20th year that the town of Story has hosted the Indiana Wine Fair. So Story's a National Historic District, and we'd love to invite every listener.
Okay.
Brown County. And Pete is the official mayor in Story. So every town in Indiana has a Pete, and Pete is the official mayor.
There's like 7 million people in the state of Indiana, and the WIBC radio signal reaches pretty much all of the state. We go up by Fort Wayne, down by the Ohio River, and the borders, even into the neighboring states. But somehow, Brown County has figured out how to get through to call a roulette more than anybody else in the state of Indiana.
And by the way, Gene Hackman, another famous Gene.
Oh, we that's
talking
right.
About earlier.
That's right.
Probably the most famous Gene.
Gene Hackman or Gene Wilder?
Gene Hackman.
Tiffany, I'm sorry, Trinity, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hey, guys, just real fast, there was another Gene. It's Gene Simmons. We can't forget him.
Oh, yeah. Bass player.
And secondly, I want to talk about Mr. Tyrese Halliburton making headlines in CNN for his fashion. What do you guys have to say about it? Are you into it, not into it? Does it matter, not matter? You just want him to play ball?
I don't care if he shows up wearing a Donald Duck costume like Elton John used to do on stage. If he gets 15 assists tonight, 20 points, and the Pacers win game 5, he could wear a Borat onesie thong for all I care.
Okay, I just wanted to know where you stood. I appreciate all that.
You got it. What about you, Nige?
I'm looking at some of the get-ups right now. I don't care what he wears. Who cares? Just come play ball.
Right. Now, if he is focusing more on fashion than basketball, then maybe we have a problem. But I haven't seen that from Tyrese Halliburton. He's been pretty well balanced. Because let's be honest, it's become like a whole big thing now to showcase what you're wearing when you go to a sporting event. We see it with the NBA, and it's with the NFL too. Like all these pregame shows, here's Travis Kelce arriving at the stadium, and he's got some big getup on. It's kind of a thing now. But again, you show up on the court tonight, you can streak for all I care. I do not care. Beat Milwaukee tonight. Tom is up next. Tom, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Yeah, Southside Tom here. Before I get my point, two more Genes. Gene Rayburn, Match Game.
Oh, yeah.
Gene Autry, the famous country crooner.
There's a lot more Genes than I thought about, yeah.
Oh, they're all over the place. But anyway, and I'm not going to need it, but my foot is over my cat's tail right now in case I say a bad word. So
easy there, Christy Gnome. Don't hurt the animal.
But we need a couple dates next week reversed. The 7th, of course, we go to the polls if you haven't done early voting. The 10th, we pay our property ridiculous taxes. Ew. We need to have voting day on the 10th and our tax day on the 7th so we can vote those blanks out.
Yeah.
And I think it's all reversed, and our property taxes on our house is just outlandish.
Yeah, it sucks. Tom, have you liked what you've heard from any candidate at all for any office when it comes to property taxes?
Well, nobody's talking about it. The closest we got to is Suzanne Crouch, and she wants to do income taxes. Now, we're retired. That doesn't do us a dang bit of good. And if Biden's going to forgive all these college loans, he ought to be forgiving our property taxes, too. Just a thought.
Right on. Thank you, Southside Tom. Richard, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show. What do you want to talk about?
Hey, guys. There's been some stories that have been conveniently shoved under the carpet. I'd like to talk about two of them real quick. The first of them, first one is Kareem Abdul, thumb up my rear end, a.k.a. Andre Carson. He had one of the guys, he's on the Intelligence Committee nationally, and one of his guys was trying to leave the country with $20,000 cash in his billfold. And that threw up some red flags for me, but that got swept under the carpet. And the other thing I'd like to know about, when Sleepy Joe was shutting down all the pipelines and stuff, someone said, well, what are the workers that are making 85, 90 grand a year? What are they going to do? And he said they could learn to code.
Yeah.
And I would be very interested to know how many of those guys that were, you know, making good money, working hard, but making good money, how many of those guys have coding jobs now? Because it's been 3 years.
I'd say very few, to be honest with you.
Zero.
And as for the Andre Carson stuff, I don't know. I have to look into that a little bit more. I haven't heard about 20,000 bucks, you know, in a billfold going out of the country. I'm not ruling anything out. I just don't have a lot of information on it. Larry, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hey, boys, I voted for Suzanne Crouch because she looks like an ostrich and she'll be easy to satirize. But in any case, what's going on with the soccer stadium? You'll see when you look at the committee meeting of DPW to Thursday night at 5:30 in room 260. They are going to transfer $200 million from the billion-dollar infrastructure that Hog Nuts had planned. They're going to actually take that money and use it to lure this team to town and build their stadium. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. So we need to watch out for that. But Joe, I seen him the other day, skinny enough to ride a chicken. And like, you know, you said, he's probably on vodka or something.
All right. Thank you, Larry. Now,
boy, there was a lot there.
A lot to unpack there, for sure. But in somewhere in there.
Did I hear the word ostrich?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
But somewhere in there, I think there's a valid conversation to be had. Is this new hotel that the city is building, the city-ran hotel, going to have some skin in the game when it comes to getting the soccer team here? Again, we don't know a lot of information because old boss Hogsett kind of kept it a secret and even screwed over the Democrats on the city county council. Now, I fully expect them to roll over, play dead, and do whatever Boss Hogsett wants, but some of them were pretty ticked off. I know Vop Osley wasn't real happy that he was kept in the dark about all of this MLS stuff. But again, he'll probably play ball. Couple more here before we wrap it up. Farmer Ryan, what is up, my friend?
Hey, Jason Hammer, how are you guys doing?
Glorious.
So good to hear you guys.
What's up?
Hey, okay, for one thing, Rob Kendall is a very good friend of mine, and we should always listen to him because he always proves me wrong, and every single time I have an issue. So I just wanted to let you guys know that Samuel, my son, is in a house in Indianapolis, and he is his bone marrow graft, praise the Lord, has taken way earlier than what anyone expected.
Love to hear that. Love to hear that.
Yeah, so he listens to you guys. Now, my wife is not a fan of fun facts for kids, but my 5-year-old daughter is.
Yeah, your wife and I have something in common then.
Thank you, Farmer Ryan. And your son rocks, by the way. Hope he gets better real soon. Daniel, what's up, Daniel? What do you want to talk about?
Hey, dudes. Hopefully you're having a good day. Hey, a couple weeks ago, you guys played a George Carlin clip, and I had heard it for a while, and I'd laughed out loud, right? So do you have any favorite comedians these days?
These days? That's interesting because all of mine are older guys.
Yeah, Shane Gillis cracks me up. He's got a special on Netflix called Beautiful Dogs, and he tells a great story about Trump at the end. That would be the one that comes to my mind.
I'm pretty old school. Like, I don't even know if he's considered modern, but I'll always watch a Chris Rock stand-up special. But really, for me, it's Carlin, it's Richard Pryor, it's old Eddie Murphy before he became a family man. All the old dirty stuff, that's kind of my wheelhouse. All right, last one here goes to Jason. Jason, welcome to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
What's up, you guys? I love you, man. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Quick joke for the day real quick.
Uh-oh, Kylan, get ready.
What do you get when you put windshield wipers on the backside of a Joe Biden?
What?
A manure spreader.
And this has been Caller Roulette. Thank you so much for all of your calls. It's the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I love Caller Roulette so much. We had talks of an ostrich. We had Crazy Larry. Always good stuff.
All right, if you're looking for a reason to drink tonight.
Jason. After Caller Roulette, I need one.
Burt Young would have been 84.
Oh, man, I hate that he's gone.
Remember, some people might not be familiar with who Burt Young is.
So
he died last year.
Yeah. In the Rocky movies, he was Rocky's no-good brother-in-law, Paulie. Remember the kind of stubbly old, you know, Italian guy gets drunk, gets into a fight with Rocky. He's that guy. But also in the movie Back to School, he was Rodney Dangerfield's bodyguard.
Lou.
Lou, the bodyguard for Thornton Mellon. And even though he was tough, he kind of had a heart of gold.
Come here. I want to tell you something.
What?
You were pretty hard on your father last night.
Oh, I know, but the guy doesn't understand, you know?
Yeah, I know your pop 30 years. He understands. He's a nice guy, and he's tough, like me. I'm nice, and I'm tough. Huh? I'll give you an idea what I mean. My two boys, I put one through college, and the other I put through a wall.
And he kind of played that role pretty much in everything he was in.
Burt Young. Well, I liked it when they got in the bar fight, and Rodney Dangerfield says, I'm a lover, not a fighter. And the guy goes, you got a problem? No, I haven't got a problem. Now you do. And he squeezes
The napkin holder. Right.
You got a problem? Now you do.
Had a cup of coffee in The Sopranos for a few episodes as well. All right, coming up after 6 o'clock, sixth day in a row, there's been action on the campus of IU Bloomington. We will talk about that. Columbia University, it's a mess. NY ChatGPT may be sexist. We've got all of that and more. Don't go anywhere. One more hour to go. This is the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.